K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered civil arrests of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of congressional maps that favor Republicans. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett spoke from Warrenville, Illinois.
The Democrats are not going to stand for this any longer. We know that we are standing for the people. And so long as we stand for the people, I absolutely believe the people are going to stand for us.
U.S. Justice Department launching a grand jury investigation into the alleged Russiagate conspiracy during the 2016 election cycle. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Democrats point out a bipartisan Senate investigation, two special counsels, and the CIA looked into the Russian interference and found nothing about any conspiracy.
Massive wildfires now burn more than 72,000 acres of Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Forest spokesman Fleming Bertelson.
Combined with the winds and steep slopes, areas that haven't burned in a long time, is showing, you know, why we're having such challenges right now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There's a Milwaukee response to the measles. With cases now reported in Wisconsin, Milwaukee officials are giving out free measles shots at city clinics to try and stop the spread. With vaccination rates lower than the national average around here, health leaders called the situation urgent. Parents are being told to check their children's immunizations to protect against the highly contagious disease. The diverging diamond discussion is today in Waukesha County. The DOT is holding a public session regarding the big changes coming to I-94 and County Highway F. The plan is to build what's called a diverging diamond interchange where traffic crosses over in an attempt to improve turning and reduce crashes. You can peep out plans for the project at a public meeting today at the state office building on Barstow in Waukesha. It's now been a week of haze. The area has been dealing with now a week of smoke from Canadian wildfires, leading to health warnings and air quality alerts. The current advisory runs through noon today, although it could be extended again. Officials are reminding people to take precautions, especially if you have breathing issues. The newest lawsuit Wisconsin has joined against the Trump administration has now been filed in court. Savannah Tolme Olson has the latest.
The state is part of dozens of these cases now challenging the federal government. This suit is over health care for trans kids. A week into his presidency, President Donald Trump signed an order restricting care for people under 19. Attorney General Josh Call says since then, the Department of Justice has subpoenaed providers, demanded private patient data, and suggested that providers could be charged with crimes. The lawsuit argues this order has no legal basis, and every National Medical Association says care is necessary for trans youth who face some of the highest suicide rates in the nation. 15 other states are part of this lawsuit.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it, and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, you know, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have a little more of that hazy wildfire smoke out there again today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. Our high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 67. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome photographer and musician Chris Rogowski. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks about the box office and upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 5th. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison at Studio A2, meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us as well on what it is. It's still a little hazy out there, but not nearly as smoky around here on Lake Wissota, Brittany, and I sense that is going to become a trend everywhere. Eventually, a welcome trend. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was looking at these trends thinking this has got to be the longest period consecutive that we have had this air quality alert in effect. Mm-hmm. And it is.
I thought so, because when it was particularly bad in 2023, and it was, but it definitely felt like it had a shorter duration.
2-day waves. That's all it was. It was June 27th through 29th, and then it was July 14th through the 16th. Yeah. We've had this ongoing since July 29th, a week now.
Yeah, this is, it's sad, of course. It's tragic for the folks up north, compounded by certain people trying to politicize all of this. But needless to say, yes, the lingering impact, it's the whole difference of, you know, being around a heavy chain smoker for 2 days versus somebody who, you know, only smokes half a pack, but for 10 years, there's a big difference in exposure here. And it's not good for people. In fact, let me jump over to comments online from Rob in Tigerton. He says, good morning from Tigerton, partly cloudy, 57. Yesterday I had mowing jobs in Wittenberg. The shifter on my lawnmower popped out, and I had to push it onto a trailer and take it to John Deere and Marion. Finally got it fixed, then back to Wittenberg. But he also writes here, I got bothered by that smoke yesterday. I felt dizzy and tired, and now he's got more mowing jobs in Tigerton today. And I can affirm, again, I don't have any respiratory issues or anything like that, but it really gets people feeling draggy after a while, or headachy, or, you know, your eyes burn, whatever the case is.
Yeah. I mean, you think about this is burning particles of whatever's in that forest, whatever it's burning, and it's making its way here. It's inflaming, you know, while you're ingesting that. So be careful. Take it easy. Stay inside if you can. I know it's summer. It is the worst thing to hear. Stay inside, especially when it's so dry and nice and comfortable out there. Temperatures right now, 52 degrees in Wautoma, 66 in Superior and Racine. So those lakes are holding on to some heat. You are warmer if you are by a Great Lake right now this morning. We're also seeing patchy, dense fog in places. So be careful out there driving. That visibility will clear in about an hour or two. But the air quality alert still in effect until noon. They keep renewing it at noon. I have a feeling it might be extended until tomorrow in certain places of the state. Maybe they'll let it expire in spots. It is starting to swing much further off to the east. The high pressure system that brought it here is now moving off to the east, and it's really hanging over New York right now. So we're really seeing the tail end of it. but all of Michigan, parts of Minnesota and Indiana, and of course, all of us here in Wisconsin are still in that alert until at least noon today. So as the high pressure continues to move, another low pressure system is building off in towards Wyoming and Colorado. It is going to send a warm front our way, which means more clouds headed our way, more mugginess and humidity, and also more thunderstorm action, especially as we push into the end of the week and into the weekend. So it's going to turn hot and humid. These are the final few days of, if you decided to open your window with this air quality alert, that you can do that. Of course, today we're going to hit highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. We're pretty much going to put that on repeat for tomorrow too. We do have a small chance of spotty sprinkles far north again late tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow we're looking at some light showers and storms possibly west in the state in the morning, and then more are going to start later on in the evening. But we'll tell you more about that tomorrow.
All right. I was deciding whether to finally open up the house a little bit, and I thought, well, I can do it for, like you said, a couple of hours, but then as soon as the temperature gets to, you know, a certain level where your air conditioner would kick in anyway, you know, is it even worth it? I don't know. We'll see. Alicia puts up on YouTube, I've had headaches for a week straight. I've started having a hard time breathing. Rob adds, looking forward to winds from the south to get the smoke out of here. So, I mean, we're all anticipating there's still time. There's still time to save summer. The middle of summer, it's almost like, you know, it's been raining all the time. Not quite a washout, but like a smokeout. It just hasn't been the same. But there's still people go, oh, summer's almost over. Now it's August 5th, kids. We got a little time.
Have about a month.
To enjoy the sun. Yes.
Yeah,
so we can do this. Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
Quick reminder, there's so much more coming up on Civic Media today. Certainly we've talked about Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg, following this program from 9 to 11. And then after Tom Hartman is the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. And at 2:30, Todd's going to be talking to Kyle LaFond. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Provenance. He is a member of Main Street Alliance, and he is going to be talking about tariffs, just as we did with Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance as well, that these tariffs are catching on with other Americans in the sense that they're saying, oh, wait, this isn't just hurting, you know, other countries. This isn't hurting foreign companies. This is hurting everybody, consumers, small businesses, small manufacturers that need to import some of their materials to make the things that they make. This is having a wide ranging impact. And Todd will be talking to his guest, Kyle LaFond, about that later this afternoon. And then Matt Rothschild is guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6 today across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Learn more over at couriernewsroom.com. Plenty of newsletters and video series and things like that, including a newsletter called Control, Alt-Right, Delete by Melissa Ryan. A new edition is out called the Media Capitulation Index. It's a tracker that rates media conglomerates on a scale from independent to vulnerable to compromising to capitulating to obeying to propaganda. The group Free Press has also released a companion report to the tracker called A More Perfect Media, with deeper analysis. And here's some of what they found. In evaluating 35 different media companies, Free Press found that media owners capitulated to the Trump White House in four main ways. One, through payments to Trump in the form of legal settlements, production contracts, campaign contributions, and other donations. Second, by rolling back their commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion practices when it comes to hiring and community outreach. Third, through editorial manipulation and censorship, pressuring their newsrooms to soften criticism of the administration, firing staff, even pulling content that might anger the president. Have you noticed by chance the articles that look at Fox News Channel and how if you watch that channel, there basically isn't a Jeffrey Epstein case anymore? There used to be, but it's mysteriously disappeared. And then fourth, media companies are attempting to curry favor with the president during ceremonies like the inauguration, private dinners at Mar-a-Lago, meetings in the White House. As Melissa Ryan puts in her newsletter, as consumers, we have economic power. Trackers like this one help us use it. We can choose what media companies we support with our wallets, with our ears, with our eyes. And so for all of that, you're going to want to look at Melissa Ryan's newsletter, Control, Alt, Right, Delete, and you can get a link to it over at couriernewsroom.com to learn more. It's 7:14 right now. The Milwaukee Brewers have just been on a tear. What is it, 4 in a row now, Parker, after beating Atlanta last night? Final score there was 3-1. The three coming from Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Quinn Priester surrendered a first pitch of the game home run, but after that allowed just one other hit. And that's how you ended up with a 3-1 win over Atlanta. Trevor McGill pitched a perfect ninth inning to get his 25th save of the season. Freddie Peralta is pitching this evening. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:40 on several Civic media stations. It's just fun to watch. That should be their new memo. Their new motto. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, that's true. It is very fun to watch. I will say, it's kind of funny. It seems like the one thing that gets a lot of the starting pitchers is the home run ball, and that's about it. Like, it's literally a homer, maybe two in a game, and that's maybe one more hit.
I could be wrong. It almost feels like we must be way up there in the number of home runs given up on the first pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done 3-4 of those. Uh-huh. It wouldn't surprise me if it was 5, actually. But then, you know, things settled down after that.
Yeah.
And it's been a beautiful thing.
It is.
So much so.
Who knew the sports are more fun when you're winning?
I did.
You did?
I knew that. Okay. Yes. Okay. I had a sense that was the case anyway. Of all the recent headlines here that we're still playing catch up on, for example, there's a new state Supreme Court justice. Did you know that? Justice Susan Crawford. And you'll go, wait, the election was back in April. Yeah, but she wasn't inaugurated until August 1st. That's when Supreme Court justices begin their new terms. And so it was only this past Friday that Justice Susan Crawford took the oath of office for a 10-year term, keeping the court under a 4-3 progressive majority with the retirement of Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. And so now the next few elections feature a conservative justice defending their seat. There are no liberal-leaning justices up for election until April of 2028. So throughout this period here, the next 2.5 years, 3 years basically, the court will be under progressive control, barring, you know, some kind of personnel change amongst the progressive justices that are already there. Crawford is a former Dane County Circuit Court judge. This all took place in what's called an investiture ceremony. That's what they call the oath of office when given to judges, held in the rotunda of the Wisconsin Capitol. Quoted here in an article from Spectrum News, Crawford said, quote, "I'm proud to take my seat on this court. I'm ready to meet this moment. And most of all, I'm ready to get to work for the people of our great state." You will recall that in April, she defeated Waukesha County Judge and former State Attorney General Brad Schimmel by 10 points. And if you noticed anything in your social media feed, if it's got any kind of a political flavor to it, there was a lot said Friday, Saturday about the way that Justice Susan Crawford beat the world's richest man, Elon Musk, and beat him soundly for the tens of millions of dollars that he spent in a race that topped the $100 million mark. The world's richest man could not buy a state Supreme Court seat here in Wisconsin. Again, the spending there topping more than $100 million. And Crawford went on to say, "I just promise to uphold two constitutions, the U.S. Constitution and the Wisconsin Constitution, even when the issues are politically charged, deeply divisive, or hard to untangle. That's always been the job." So congratulations again to the new Supreme Court Justice, Susan Crawford, who is now officially on the court after that swearing in back on Friday. We got plenty to cover yet this hour. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For others, we will be visiting with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Talk about his vacation. He's back after taking a little bit of time off. And then later in the hour, we will be talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. They are kicking off a new network so that folks in the city, small now, but eventually growing to the whole city, can have better access to high-speed broadband internet. private companies aren't necessarily willing to serve every corner of Wisconsin. And so in some cases, there are local governments that are stepping in and helping make networks more possible so that we can enjoy high-speed internet throughout the state, despite Republican restrictions that were put in place years ago. That's coming up. Live from the heart of America's Up North from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlong.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Tuesday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Are you a fan of small businesses? I know I am. Are you also a fan of yummy, sweet, and savory baked treats? I am as well. If you answered yes to both my questions, I'm going to recommend Poppy Bakery on the east side of Milwaukee. And to learn more, Jane and I sat down on Matinee on Air with owner Amy Gorski with our segment called Beyond the Cheese, where we highlight a small business in Wisconsin that's outside the dairy industry.
We try to do this once a month. We're very excited to have our next guest here for a segment, Calvin, we call
Beyond the Cheese.
Joining us is the owner of Poppy Bakery in Milwaukee. Pastry chef Amy Gorski is joining us. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. It turns out that actually you have a nice profile today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Oh, that's
you haven't
news
seen
to
it
me,
yet.
So.
Yeah. Rachel no, Bernhard.
No, I haven't seen it.
Rachel Bernhard in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today has a really nice review of Poppy Bakery in the dining section. First Bites. Poppy Bakery is the Swedish addition to Milwaukee's East Side. So you'll have to check that out. We're going to include this article in our show notes after the show. It's fabulous. So tell us a little bit about Poppy Bakery because you started as a pop-up.
Yeah, so I started the bakery about 2 years ago, and I was at the Brookfield Farmers Market, Oconomowoc Farmers Market, and then the Indoor Waukesha Market at Chef Pam's Kitchen. So last year, I kind of really made an imprint on the Brookfield Farmers Market. So I was a weekly vendor, and it just kind of exploded. And then, you know, I've been working towards this for the last 12 years of my career. So it was time to pull the trigger and, you know, just see how far I could take this. And we found a spot, and it all happened within like 6 months. It was really fast, very
wow.
fast. Yeah. It was one of those where I saw the space. My friend, George Gaspar, he is an incredible realtor, and we just were like, this is it.
This is the spot.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I signed on the dotted line and went, what did I just do? So,
yeah.
But I knew I couldn't pass it up, and everything just felt right. And there were so many little God winks along the way that was telling me this is the right thing. And I just had to do it. So yeah, it worked out.
where is your space on Milwaukee's East Side?
Yeah. So it's on Ivanhoe. It's right at the intersection of like North Ivanhoe and Prospect, I think.
Okay.
It's right by the Oriental Theater. It's right by like Beans and Barley, the hospital, Whole Foods, like that kind of area. It's kind of tucked away. The Ivanhoe Plaza, they just redid it and it's beautiful. And so they have this giant mural on the street and they closed it off. So now it's just this big kind of open space for people to sit and hang out. So it really worked out so that there's kind of more seating outside for people.
I know exactly where that is because I used to live in the apartment buildings that are on Summit and Ivanhoe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Vintage used to be Vox, and it was all just a couple bars and a dream, and the old tiny theater, the old Marcus Theater inside the Prospect Mall back in the.
Well, I remember.
I'm
that.
Really old, but yeah, I know that. Yeah.
You have but you're only open on weekends, correct?
So we opened on Fridays a couple weeks ago, and then probably within the next 2 weeks, we're going to open on Thursdays. And I specifically and strategically did that because I want to make sure that we can deliver consistent, perfect pastry and hospitality. And I just wanted to do it right. And with the incredible staff that I have, we're able to execute Friday, Saturday, and Sunday pretty much flawlessly. And everyone still has a little bit of a work-life balance,
right?
You know,
right.
Kind of self-included. But yeah, we're working towards a goal of Wednesday through Sunday. But we don't really have a rush. I just want to make sure that we do this right. So,
well, and growing bigger, faster, I would think that's always a challenge that you have to look at, especially as a small yeah. business owner, right? You want to make sure, as you yeah. said, you can continue yeah. to keep your customers happy while yeah. at the same time you're trying to grow a little bit. I wanted yeah. to share this little review from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I grabbed a savory brioche bacon bun.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Puffy there and oh, wait. Puffy and golden around the edges, dotted with a blend of rich goat cheese, bechamel, Asiago, and Parmesan that crusts and crisps over the top of thick chopped bacon. A scattering yep. of fresh chives and parsley makes it picture perfect. You sold me on that. I'm there.
Wow. You know, it's so funny. So I never, when I started the business, I never set out to have like a pastry that I'm known for, or like that's like the thing you have to get. And the irony of the bacon brioche being one of our best sellers is I was vegan for like 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now my best seller is a cheese and bacon bun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny to me. And I was just like, hey, whatever works. But yeah, no, that's a fun one. I haven't changed any of that, like any of the components in like 2 years. So that's kind of a cool one that it just seems to stand the test of time, hopefully.
While you take in all that delicious information you just heard, I'm going to look up and see if they delivered to Racine, because right now I need a muffin or a scone or something, because that sounds amazing.
Thank you so much to Amy Gorski for being our guest on this month's installment of Beyond the Cheese. You can go to their website, poppybakery.com, for more information. And if you ever have a suggestion for a business that we might want to highlight, email us at janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays @civicmedia.us, and let us know who you want us to highlight. Stick around, because after the news, Pat's going to take you way up north on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered what it takes to bring in a hot country artist to the county fair? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to talk about it this morning. Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken join us from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals. They tell me a little bit about the price tag for a hot country artist.
Your big names, are $1 million and more, and your mid-level acts are anywhere from, $50,000 to $200,000.
And all the up-and-comers are kind of in that, $20,000 range or less, or even $20,000 to $50,000. And then they're growing really quickly. That's a new trend we're seeing, is they're getting really popular really quickly. And so their prices are changing really quickly. And there's also the cost that goes into the production. It's not just the band itself. They got it catering. You have your lights and sound, the stage. There's a lot of different elements that go into putting on a show, and that's what we help our fairs with too.
A little behind the scenes from Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals across the upper Midwest. And now, the next time you visit a county fair concert, you know. We'll talk market news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Ahead of the weekend, dairy markets were mixed. AA butter down 2¾ cents at 244.5. That is below the week's average for price and the week before that. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 2¼ cents at $1.70.5. That was above that week's average and the week prior. As news around trade deals and tariffs continue to evolve, that's certainly going to play a role in the marketplace today. We're also expecting a few reports from the U.S. Department of Agriculture this week. This afternoon, the crop condition report could shake up the marketplace. And then Tuesday afternoon, we'll hear more about dairy production from USDA. For the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday morning, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are going to have a little more of that hazy wildfire smoke out there again today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. Our high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 67. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matinee on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is
stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse and bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matinee on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss the Trump tariffs. They're off, they're on, they're up, they're down. But what does it mean to us in Wisconsin? We'll be joined by Wisconsin business owner Kyle LaFond on that and also PBS.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Remember, you can stay up to date on what we're doing at Up North News by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. And while you're there, sign up for our daily newsletters. We've got a weekday issue. We've got our Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow politics newsletter that also includes our question of the week. And the question that we asked this past Sunday deals with what is now happening in Texas, where Republicans are, again, looking to rig their congressional maps further to put Democratic representation in the single digits in Texas, along with dozens of Republican members of Congress from Texas. Texas is a red state, but it ain't that imbalanced, but that's how they want to make the maps. Democratic legislators are saying, you know what, before you ram this through, we're going to deny you a quorum for a time. Leave the state and call national attention to this because it is what it is. It's corruption is what it is. And call attention to it. Now, folks in some blue states are saying, hey, two can play at that game. Maybe in California, they'll redraw the congressional map and, you know, get five more Democratic seats to offset five more Republican seats in Texas. The question is, should they? Is it a case of, you know, two wrongs don't make a right? Or is it a case of you got to do this because otherwise it's bringing a rubber band to a gunfight? What do you think? A lot of responses coming in already to our question of the week in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. There's a lot that's going to be said between now and next August about the Democratic primary for governor and who would be the strongest candidate. And should that candidate be, you know, a fire-breathing liberal? Should it be somebody who is extremely moderate and hits a lot of bipartisan tones? Will a Democratic primary be a healthy part of that process, or will it lead to a party that is fractured by those who want to go more to the left and those who want to go more to the center? There's no shortage of discussion about it. Certainly over the weekend, some of that talk was being heard in Milwaukee, where former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke held a town hall at the Washington Park Senior Center in Milwaukee. O'Rourke now has a voter organization group called Powered by People that is putting on these community conversations in spots all over the country. Speakers this past weekend included Devin Remicker, the new chair of the State Democratic Party. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and others also spoke at this. And again, the talk turns to whether Democrats have been too conciliatory. Have they been too willing to play by the rules? What is it that's going to go into making the next nominee for Wisconsin governor on the Democratic side as strong as possible? Well, to hear State Senator Kelda Royce talk about it in the Cap Times, there's so much conversation about it that she's wearing out her AirPods because of all the phone calls that she's been taking with friends and family and strategists and consultants and colleagues and donors. And she talked to the Cap Times newspaper in Madison all about it lately, including this line: "I would say I'm very likely to run. I've had so many encouraging conversations with folks all around the state, and that's been really exciting and gratifying," Royce said. Now, that was not a full-fledged commitment, but it does take a lot to say, "I would say I'm very likely to run," especially when you consider there's already Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez who's in the race. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's going to announce that he's in the race. And for Kelda Royce, this would be her second time running for governor. The last time she ran was among nearly a dozen Democratic candidates in 2018, when that primary produced Tony Evers as the nominee, who beat Scott Walker and then served another term as well. But at this point, again, we don't have 12 Democratic candidates in the race yet, but we might. And Kelda Royce says she's not going to rush into making a decision or an announcement. She told the Cap Times, quote, "I don't think anybody needs a 13-month primary. We're going to have a robust, crowded primary. We have a lot of good people interested in running, and I think that's great. But I wouldn't be surprised if the field isn't even settled until the end of the year." Let me have one observation on that, and that's waiting till the end of the year. And again, it's all about the money. Part of the reason that candidates are urged to get in earlier and earlier is the need for donations, the need for these multi-million dollar races that are run. And if you wait too long, the donors are going to be happy with somebody else. It shouldn't necessarily be this way, because let me explain the timetable for you real quick here. Nominating papers aren't even due until June 1st of next year. It's on June 1st of next year that we'll find out how many people turned in nominating petitions with enough signatures from voters that they qualify to be on the August primary ballot, June 1st. So theoretically, somebody could announce they're a candidate in, you know, mid-May and for 2 weeks collect a ton of signatures and get on the ballot. But it doesn't work that way anymore because, again, people need those donations, and so they try to get in as early as possible. But Senator Kelda Royce is saying, look, it doesn't have to be next week. And Joe Sopecki told us as much last week when I told him, hey, I thought we'd have a lot more candidates for governor in this first week after Governor Evers announcing he wasn't going to run for a third term. And Joe Sopecki said, no, once you've got the first one or two candidates in, there really isn't any value in being, you know, say the third candidate in the race. You just announce when you think the time is right, once you've got all your ducks in a row and you're ready to start asking donors and voters for their support. So back to what Kelda Royce had to say to the Cap Times, she said you have this kind of dichotomy between how horrible things are at the federal level and the way the states are under attack by the Republican regime. We have an incredibly dangerous and authoritarian government in charge in Washington, D.C., but we are also at a point of incredible hope in Wisconsin, where for the first time in a generation, we could have a Democratic trifecta. We just can't afford to waste that. And I, of course, take interest in that, being a member of the last Democratic trifecta, which happened in 2009. After the 2008 elections, when Barack Obama was elected president, you had Jim Doyle as governor, you had a Democratic state Senate that I was in, a Democratic state assembly. But at the same time, you also had the Great Recession kicking off, thanks to a whole lot of factors from outside the state of Wisconsin. So it's been a long time since Wisconsin's had a Democratic trifecta where the economy also hadn't been, you know, previously tanked by right-wing policies. But as a result of that potential for a Democratic trifecta, you've got people like Kelda Royce and everybody else who might enter the race wanting to be extremely careful and plot out your moves carefully and think about your words carefully. But in that same Cap Times newspaper, there's also an editorial that notes that the 2026 gubernatorial nominee, in their opinion, must embody progressive values. With Republicans veering toward pro-Donald Trump cultishness, the Cap Times writes, the Democratic nominee in 2026 can unite voters on behalf of economic, social, and racial justice, and a climate agenda that creates jobs while saving the planet. The Cap Times writes that in past elections, we've endorsed many of the prospective 2026 contenders. As the race heats up, we'll be looking in particular for a Democrat who is ready to run a winning progressive campaign and, once elected, to serve boldly. They talked to State Representative Francesca Hong, a Madison progressive, whose endorsement has been enthusiastically pursued by many Democratic gubernatorial prospects. And she describes such an agenda well when she says, quote, "With Governor Evers opting not to run for a third term, Wisconsin is headed for a crowded Democratic primary. There's a real opportunity here, not just to hold on to the governorship, but to reimagine what kind of a state that we want to be." She said, "We can learn a lot from candidates like New York City Democratic mayoral nominee Zohran Mamdani, who ran on a bold vision built on grassroots power and grounded in care." She said, "We need a candidate who understands the power of building a diverse and radically welcoming coalition." How do you like that phrase? A radically welcoming coalition. "We need someone ready to lead with a vision that puts people first, starting with what working class people are actually facing every day. That means real affordability in long-term care, child care, and health care. That means protecting public education, investing in affordable housing, and finally advancing progressive taxation rooted in our state's history. And it means being willing to name who's been hoarding power and who's been left out for far too long." Again, that's all from Fran Hong, Democratic Assembly member from the Madison area. And the thing is, the things that she's talking about, affordability in long-term care, affordable child care, affordable health care, protecting public education, and having progressive taxation, you know, where all the special favors in the tax code don't go to the wealthiest taxpayers. How the heck did that become a partisan agenda? There was once a time when Republicans fought for those things, too. They simply differed with Democrats on the degree of which to go there, the methods in which to go there. But Republicans used to consistently fight for things like affordable health care and education and things like that. So will a primary be good or bad? Well, coincidentally, one more article to share from the Cap Times. It's a column by John Nichols, the associate editor, who writes a column saying primaries are good for Dems. And again, that's not a universal thought that's out there. But John Nichols writes, "There's a notion among many political consultants and pollsters that crowded primaries only cause frustrations for the eventual nominee and the party. They tell us if partisans could just coalesce early around a single candidate for a top post, it will be easier to focus the message of party nominees, build campaign war chests, and take on November rivals." But with Evers deciding not to seek a third term, Democrats are all but certain to see a multi-candidate primary that will feature many of the most prominent figures on the party's crowded bench competing with one another. But the fact that there will be a number of Democratic primary candidates is not a problem. It's a measure of the party's renewal in recent years, and it's a strength going into the 2026 race. And he writes, it's also very much in keeping with the party history over the past five decades. And he goes on to list things like how Patrick Lucey came out of a primary in 1970, how in 1982, Tony Earle came out of a very tough three-way primary with Marty Schreiber and former Lucey aide Jim Wood. In 1992, there was Russ Feingold coming out of a three-way primary and then defeating Republican Senator Robert Casten. Jim Doyle himself, back in 2002, became the nominee only after a primary that included Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk and Milwaukee Congressman and future Mayor Tom Barrett. So John Nichols writes, "Democrats who win competitive primaries do not always go on to beat Republicans in November, but primaries have rarely, if ever, been an impediment to party prospects." So I would conclude by simply saying, we're going to have a large field. Embrace it. The same goes for Republicans. You're going to have a large field. Embrace it. Talk about the issues. Talk about not just who espouses your principles, but also who can win. Weigh it all, come up with the best nominee possible, and show Wisconsin how you would best take care of them. A local update is next. With others, we'll talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne about expanding broadband service up in Northwest Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Your car steering wheel could be a ticking time bomb. At least 24 people have died and many more injured because their airbags fired shrapnel at them upon inflating. Tens of millions of cars have been recalled. If you suffered cuts that required stitches, hearing or vision loss, or broken bones, please contact us today. You could be owed money for medical bills and other damages.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit us at badairbags.com for an office near you. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Last week, I played a small sample of a conversation that Earl Ingram had with Charles Robinson on his new show, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. And this week, I want to play for you another small selection from that discussion. But I'm telling you right now, you want to get this show in your life by going to civicmedia.us/shows. You can download episodes there directly to your device and listen to the whole story whenever, wherever you want. And what you're going to hear now is Earl talking to Mr. Robinson about his roots, the beginnings of his life in the world of nonviolent conflict resolution.
What are some of the other distinguishable positions that you've held?
Well, I worked for the city. I worked for under John Norquist. I was equal rights specialist, and in that position, I had a chance to do some things which was kind of unique. You remember the old boys tech, my daughter was a student there, and nothing in that building worked because it was just old harness figure. They were trying to contribute some infrastructure,
right?
But the building was too old to accept it, right? So we created the political will to build a new boys tech. Well, now it's called Bradley Tech,
right?
But I had to get the community involved as the equal, you know, working in equal rights. And there was a pastor named Roland Womack.
Reverend Roland Womack of Progressive Baptist Church.
Oh, you know him. Well,
I used to be a member of Progressive Baptist Church under Dr. Reverend
come on.
Roland Womack. Betty Womack is his lovely bride. Absolutely.
Well, you know, Norquist, the mayor at the time, said he wasn't going to build any more buildings because North Division was sitting there.
Right.
Half empty. And he said, buildings don't educate. But we changed his mind once the black ministers got involved. And with that radio station,
right,
they ended up creating a political will that overrode Norquist's will of not to build a brand new tech. But my daughter was a student there. Janie Hatton, you mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Janie was the principal there. So
because, again, there's so much. So you've done so much volunteer work. Let's talk about how you wound up doing some of those things that you've done.
Well, you know, when I graduated from law school, a guy named Willie Windham, who was a homeboy from Northeastern Louisiana, our families were neighbors. He was working as the district executive for the Milwaukee County Council, Boy Scouts of America. And my scoutmaster had told me when I was 10, 11 years old about paying it forward. And I had a chance to pay it forward when Willie asked me to be the vice president of relationships. And I was that for a little while, and then they asked me to be the district commissioner responsible for 102 scouting partners, churches and schools that had programs. At the time I took the position, there were no commissioners actively involved in you know, supporting those 102 scouting partners. I recruited 16 commissioners, got them trained, and we took St. Mark had the oldest scouting program in the whole state of Wisconsin, but they were inactive. I found two Eagle Scouts in St. Mark's, got them involved, and then that troop 445 ended up being one of the best troops in the whole state. We got them reactivated.
So you moved into, you continued to hold all these various positions that many people would die for, but you know, you didn't put down your roots.
Well, I'm still looking for my grandmother said the Lord got work for you, but I wasn't sure exactly what she meant, and I'm still looking now. I'm still searching, but I think I found it. In fact, I know I found it now.
So what did you find?
Peace, healing, and collaboration. That's who I am.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what that is.
Well, like I told you, we can go back to 2.5 years old. And then when I was 3.5 on the Greyhound bus coming to Milwaukee with my mother, I manipulated her and she started crying. I made my mother cry. That was one of the most devastating, because we were happy to be reunited, right?
Right.
And ever since then, I can't stand to see people cry. And so at Fifth Street School, I was in the office fighting every day bullies who were picking on my friends because I didn't want to see them cry. And so they made me captain of cadets. I got the certificate now, 1960. But they, you know, back in those days, the captain of the cadets could have, we could report people to the office, break up fights and stuff like that. So that was my first experience intervening in violence.
So you're kind of a violence prevention guru.
Well, I have a lot of experience.
You know, I don't think that there's any human being who's lived an extended period of life that you have who hasn't had some involvement with violence. It's par for the course in the human reality, right?
Right. Well, when I was 8 years old, we were renting from a family. The oldest son, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was a gang leader, right? And being the curious kind of kid I was, I would sneak out the back door with them. And in effect, I'm 8 years old running with a teenage gang, right?
And with that, you got to listen to the entire thing yourself. Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Earl's new podcast, What's Going On, and you can get the episode right there. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast and have it delivered to your device anytime a new episode is available. Stay tuned, because after the news break, Pat welcomes Chad Holmes and Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, to the show. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered the civil arrest of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of a new voting map favoring the GOP. CBS's Ed O'Keefe spoke with Republican State Rep Carl Tepper.
What would be your message to your Democratic colleagues who left town?
We still love you. We want to see you back in Texas.
But the Democrats say, I think not yet.
Massive wildfires are growing in the West, including one tearing through Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Sacramento Metro Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
This is a very rapidly fast-moving fire through steep terrain with lots of dry vegetation. It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size.
Florida health officials say 21 people have gotten sick from E. coli by drinking raw, unpasteurized milk linked to the same farm. Six of them were under the age of 10. Seven have been hospitalized. You can only sell raw milk in Florida if it's labeled as pet food. CBS.